This week, we go fiscal cliff diving. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
to remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 49. Today is November 15th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
This is Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going? I feel like you're picking us up.
Hey.
Hey, baby. So this episode is just going to be a potpourri of different topics.
I smell the aroma already.
Some crazy stories in the news right now. Let's talk about General Petraeus, former head of the CIA.
So hot.
You know what? If the head of the CIA can't hide an extramarital affair, that means nobody can.
It can't be done.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that one. Chris Rock tweeted that a couple of days ago.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, so I predicted an episode ago, maybe two, that this Benghazi story wasn't going to go away very quickly, but I really couldn't have predicted this.
I'm going to go ahead and predict that it is going to go away, or that it already has. I mean, is anybody really, do you think we'll get to the Benghazi, or you think we're going to get to the boner Ghazi?
Petraeus is now going to testify.
Well, yeah, you're right. We're into at least the third ring of this three-ring circus, right? And it is unfortunate because I still believe there's some important issues surrounding the whole Benghazi incident that, you know, are getting swept under the rug. And I found it interesting that Paula Broadwell, is that her name? Yeah.
That's it.
That she made mention of the secret prison or whatever at Benghazi in some speech she gave not too long ago. And, you know, you have to wonder, where did that come from? Was that pillow talk, or was that just her making shit up to,
Wow, Jerry.
Sorry. To impress whatever crowd she was talking to. I don't remember who she was giving the speech to, but
yeah.
You know, it's hard to believe that she would just make stuff up. So it had to come from somewhere. And
well, I think that was a true thing, I think.
So where's the outrage, Rob?
What am I supposed to be outraged?
You're supposed to be outraged that we have a secret prison where the poor prisoners don't get the benefits of Geneva Convention and whatever else. And you're just like everybody was outraged about Guantanamo and drone strikes. And I know you're not outraged about those. We'll talk about that later.
An extraordinary rendition.
Yes.
You got to work the dark side, guys.
Is that what he's doing? Is that what the administration, they've gone to the dark side?
That's what Dick Cheney wanted him to do. Sometimes you got to work these things in the dark.
You just keep twisting it and pointing to Cheney, like bringing up, ooh, let me bring up Darth Vader, and then that'll make it all okay.
No.
But that he was the villain, so why is it okay now?
Well, Dick Cheney really did say you gotta work the dark side. That was a real quote.
That's fine.
Okay,
why
anyway.
Is it okay now? Because Obama said he wasn't gonna do that. There was openness, there was accountability, no more traipsing through the rose garden of the world with trampling the rose garden of the world. Where'd all that go?
I don't know.
Well, and that's the response we get from the administration. That's the response we get from the news media. They don't ask these questions. If you ask them, you're just stop being a stop being a hater, stop being a doubter. You need to get on board. We need to move forward. So answer it.
No, I think you're right. I think the CIA does these things. I think they have done them in the past, and they will probably continue to do them.
Well, yeah, it is their function, right?
Right. And so I guess I'm not. I was never. I wasn't that kind of liberal that was all mad at Georgie Boy for all the things he did in that respect. I mean, he seemed to take some special pride in it that I didn't think was all that great, you know. But
right.
Okay, maybe you aren't, but that's.
But there are what
came
some.
Out of the Liberal Party. That's the image of the Liberal Party. So explain that as our lovable liberal.
I don't know what I am lovable. I mean, what. I don't know. I should do some research, which I won't do, but I should figure out what the left is saying. I mean, we did read, there was something in the reading room a while ago about Cusack, John Cusack interviewing Jeffrey Toobin, I think, was the kind of the legal scholar about the constitutional oversteps of the Obama administration. He was pretty fired up and you know, with he seemed to have his act together, get it?
he did, and I really liked that article, but that's not what's mainstream.
Right.
That's not what's being run through the press. Why is the press not asking similar questions?
That's an excellent question.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean,
answering.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will ask those questions. Maybe we'll find out what happens.
They haven't yet. Why? What, when are they going to start?
Because it's all gotten washed out by David Petraeus's hoo-ha.
No, even see, you're just.
What's been the topic this week?
No, you're right. And then, you know, once we're one step removed from the Benghazi story now, and then it shifts to another general who nobody's ever heard of, simply because he was on the receiving end of some emails from, you know, somebody who was only tangentially connected to the Petraeus affair in the first place. I mean,
just a bizarre story.
Well, it's sensationalism. You know, it's the media going after the sexiest, juiciest tidbits of the story rather than focusing on the things they should be focusing on, in my opinion.
I agree.
I mean, and I think what it's all going to. This is my feeling about the whole thing. Everyone's going to. We could all throw out their little theories. We'd like to hear them all because they're all. I mean, they're going to be exciting. I mean, for me, I think the Benghazi thing wasn't a spontaneous protest, and it may have been planned, but it wasn't planned just to perform a terrorist act on Americans. I think they may have known about whatever the secret prison was that was there, and that's where they wanted to stick it to. And when it all came out, we couldn't say, "Hey, they're mad." I think the fact that there were things going on at that place that weren't unclassified made the message about what was going on the muddled mess. It wasn't that Barack Obama doesn't know how to, you know, spell Benghazi. It's that they're trying to figure out how to put an unclassified story onto a classified event. That's what I think is going on.
So wouldn't it be pretty easy to say, hey, anniversary of September 11th, Al-Qaeda's fringes in Libya attacked our embassy? Would that be so hard for us to believe?
It would be easy for us to believe, but maybe that's not what happened. You know?
But
like, maybe they're being more honest. Like, maybe it wasn't just Al-Qaeda attacking the you know, some Americans in Libya. Because why there? Why would it be there?
Well, why not there? I mean, I don't know. You know, all the stuff that's been going on in Libya anyway. It's just another place of unrest. And I think if you start there, maybe people don't question as much. Instead of starting with, it was a mob of people protesting about a movie.
I don't know whoever said that. Whoever said the thing about the movie. I mean, Susan Rice came out and on this whatever that Sunday talk show was and spouted the CIA, you know, findings, kind of described what the CIA said. We don't really know what it is. It seems kind of spontaneous.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really pinned it on the movie. There was that embassy in Cairo that sent out the tweet or whatever that said, geez, Americans, stop jacking around. You're going to cause us problems over here. And then that got pinned on Obama somehow by the Mitt Romney right trying to score some points.
So Obama never talked about this being a movie protest.
Not that I know of.
I think
it was a confusion about whether it was a spontaneous thing or whether it was a planned terrorist attack. And maybe it's neither of those things. Maybe it was a organized attack on the U.S. in retribution for something that was going on there. Maybe the ambassador wasn't just a guy with flags on the front of his car. Maybe he was something else.
Well, I think we know that he was CIA. Maybe we don't know that, but there's some strong circumstantial evidence that he was. Certainly the guys besides the ambassador, the other ones had ties, and if they weren't current agents, they were former CIA agents. And you know, there's a lot to this story that has not been, as far as I know, dug into. Like, I don't know that anybody has really investigated who the victims were, you know, what their individual stories. I mean, I'd like to read about it. I've gone looking and I can't find anything.
So what? Do you think there's political hay to make here? I mean, a big reason why it got so much pub till now, I think, was for political reasons. That's my cynical viewpoint. I think it was a page out of the Rove playbook where you take the strength of your opponent and you try to turn it into a weakness. So they know Obama had the Bin Laden thing and he seems to be doing pretty good on the wars. So we're going to say he's weak in the Middle East. You know, that's why I think it had legs up till now. And then suddenly Tuesday at 5, Petraeus's wanger's out.
So you don't think a U.S. ambassador getting killed is a big deal? You think that wouldn't be a big deal since the election was right there, that's why we heard about it.
Yes.
I think a U.S. ambassador getting killed should be a big news story no matter what time of year it is.
Has anybody heard why our embassy is in Benghazi and not the capital of Libya?
No.
Because that's puzzled me ever since this story broke. I was like, okay, Benghazi was the de facto capital of the rebels. So if we were going to have people on the ground in support of them, it makes sense for them to be in Benghazi, at least up to the point where we overthrew Gaddafi and, you know, they took control of the country, which is where we're at now. Mm-hmm. So why aren't our people now in Tripoli? That's the part that puzzles me, but I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners know the answer to that and they will respond.
Jerry, what were you talking about when you said you wanted to hear more of the stories of the other three who were killed and you hadn't been able to find anything? Because I think two of them were ex-Navy SEALs.
Right.
And they claimed they were there searching for weapons. Like they were on a mission to destroy weapons, which that... I don't know if I buy into that.
And I also read a story that, the what they're calling the prison wasn't, I mean, it's not really a prison in the sense that, you know, they're putting criminals in there, but
right.
They had been holding Gaddafi supporters that they caught. They'd been holding them there.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
So, you know, who knows? I mean, we probably will never know the truth.
No.
But I find it interesting. And
maybe we shouldn't know the whole truth, but they shouldn't be trying to sweep it away the way they have either. There are some things that I kind of agree that we don't need to know about. There is nasty business going on in the world. And I'm not sure we need to know about all of it.
Right. So
I think that's adding to the confusion. I think the confusion that you're seeing, or the mixed messages or whatever it is, I guess in my rosy liberal world, I don't think that's coming from Obama not knowing how to deal with the Middle East. I think it's coming from, oh my God, we got a lot going on here, and not everybody can know everything.
Right.
And why did we say that there's Navy SEALs there? Or why is that? Why are there all these CIA agents there? And who are these Gaddafi supporters? And, you know, it's kind of a scramble to come up with a plausible story that's unclassified.
Yeah. So cue the Jack Nicholson monologue from A Few Good Men.
Yes.
You I want me on that wall. Okay. So another story that caught my eye today, as a matter of fact. Headline is Millionaires to Washington. More taxes, please. This is a group of millionaires calling themselves the Patriotic Millionaires for Fiscal Strength. They were formed in 2010 with the intent of pushing President Obama to allow the Bush tax cuts to expire. And they're apparently back in Washington today talking to members of Congress and trying to get them to raise taxes on the rich. And, this is one of those stories where I think, you know, the two left and right have very, very different viewpoints. But, you know, I'm kind of splitting the difference here and saying, you know, if these millionaires care so much about their country, there is nothing stopping them from donating their millions to the IRS.
Oh, come on, Jerry.
Why do you say that, Rob?
It's not. I've heard this argument before. I can't believe you're bringing this one out, Big Jerry.
Why? I mean, why do they have to go to Congress and convince the government thugs to go after all of their fellow millionaires? Why is that a necessary step? If you want to give your money to the IRS, go for it.
Because they're advocating a progressive tax policy that they think is going to be better for the country. They're not saying, hey, I got some extra mill to throw around. Just like people advocate for any other kind of tax policy. They're advocating for a tax policy. They're not saying what they want to do with their money.
Well,
So if I go and vote for the special school district tax increase because I say, hey, I wouldn't mind paying 15 more cents, I'm in. I'm making a different decision about what I think what my vote is for the tax policy of the community is versus me just throwing them an extra 15 cents. Maybe that's the way democracy works. Which you're right.
You're right. It's two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch.
Right. Because it allows through the voting majority, unless it's prohibited by the Constitution, always protected by our judicial system, to do what they want to the minority, right?
Yeah. I mean, this story, these kinds of stories make good sound bites. But I mean, they can't represent a majority of people. They just can't. I mean, nobody likes to pay their taxes. Nobody wants to pay more taxes. That's ridiculous. So, you know, the part of this, I'm not ignorant to their point. What they're trying to say is, you know, they want the people who can afford to pay more to pay more.
Right.
I get that. But, you know, to advocate taking more money from other people, I mean, that's just, I don't know. To me, it's shocking.
Well, maybe it's just an extreme example of what we do anyway, right? Don't we often advocate to take money from people?
Yes.
Via laws or what we're advocating the tax code.
Yes. That is why government is immoral, because they have to violate your rights in order to protect them.
That's right.
So yeah, in a nutshell, that's why, you know, that's why anarchists believe what they do.
Right, right. This is you can add this to your well stocked arsenal of cases to propose.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I do. I find these stories and I put them in the reading room, and sometimes we talk about them and sometimes we don't. But our listeners should know that these little gems are always there waiting for them. All you have to do is check the show notes.
Oh, Jerry.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got a little bit of listener feedback. We're going to put Rob on the hot seat. So stay with us. Right, we are back, and we are done bad-mouthing Petraeus' wife.
Can't believe you said that stuff, Rob.
So we got some listener feedback from our listener, Eric. He says, good show, guys. One topic Rob didn't bring up in his list of Obama policy issues is his use of drone strikes in Pakistan and elsewhere. Yeah, Rob, why are you using drone strikes in Pakistan?
I'm good with a PlayStation controller.
He says, I'd like to hear you guys talk about this. I don't know how effective the drone strikes really are, but the policy of how they are used is rather disturbing. And then he goes on to say, so whether or not this policy is working, quote unquote, I guarantee you that if the Bush administration was doing it, the liberals would be proclaiming to anyone who would listen how he's violating human rights, is a war hawk, has no respect for foreign sovereignty, etc., etc. Why does it seem that Obama is immune to such criticism? Amen. So, Rob, please tell me how you would defend this administration's policy and honestly tell us that if Bush was doing it, you would hold the same opinion.
Oh, it hurts.
Cue the weaseling out of tough question.
Oh, this is going to be a huge weasel.
Hey, look, it's Elvis.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. I know personally how I feel about it is that I am a little bit hawkish on my liberal side, and I understand sometimes the dark side needs to be played, as Dick Cheney famously said. But to the broader question of where is the overall liberal outrage, it's a good question. I mean, it's out there, but it's certainly not very loud, just like. You know, when I complain about the conservatives, there are moderate conservatives making little tiny pipsqueaks. But yeah, I don't hear a lot. I don't hear it really from my Rachel Maddow fix. I don't get it in my secret transmissions from the liberal headquarters.
Finally, we have confirmation.
I don't know. I don't know. We'd have to find somebody who was absolutely outraged about drone strikes 4 years ago who's suddenly all cool with it. Yeah. And at the same point, you have this, I'll just now start talking abstractly to get off the hot seat. It's what I do. So an interesting part about it is how the sudden clinging to the Constitution has flipped parties too on this issue. About the drone strikes against an American citizen living in a pretty dicey place, but hey, still an American citizen getting killed by the American military or the American intelligence services seems kind of against the Constitution. So now you have either liberals or conservatives, sometimes liberals that don't like drone strikes now cuddling up to Connie the Constitution, which is rife for irony there. But yeah, I don't know where the liberal left is on Obama's drone strikes. I mean, I think at the very least they just whinge and whine and say we want to get out of Afghanistan. But that doesn't really answer the question that our good listener Eric posed.
No, it doesn't. So yeah. do you think they are saying, well, now it's okay, or are they just not talking, or what's the story?
I think it's what happens in these situations is when pressed, they'll say they're outraged, but they haven't gotten to it yet because look at what Mitt Romney said. You know, it's just low on their list because of who the president is.
So that is completely hypocritical and ridiculous.
Yep. I'll go ahead and say yep.
We'll agree with you there.
Yeah, this is a very good point to bring up as a case against hypocritical leftiness.
Well, it would be interesting if we could find such a person, like you said, who was, you know, opposed to it when Bush was doing it, but now is all for it. So if any of our listeners out there are of that opinion, let us know, because we'd love to have you on the show and talk about it.
Right. Yeah, and I really do. I have the same suspicions that you guys do about the left during that era, was that it seemed like the war machine was so out of control post the WMD era that anything that happened with military conflicts was called into question no matter what.
Right.
But the motivation as the claim of hypocrisy comes from what they were really complaining about was the person doing it, not what they were doing.
Yeah, and that, I mean, in a nutshell, that's why we do this show, right? Because there's so much of that, you know, truth is truth, right? It doesn't matter whose mouth it comes out of, right. but for some people it does matter, you know, and I don't know. I always come back to an example of a conversation I had with my mother once about the whole global warming thing, you know, and she's like, well, you know, that Al Gore, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, that may be a true statement, but the fact is some of the things he says are true, but my mom won't accept them because they came out of Al Gore's mouth. You know, that's
right.
And I also won't.
And some people are that way. So yeah, you're right. It's not what they say; it's who's saying it. It's not what they do; it's who's doing it. And we got to get away from that. I mean, as a country, we have to get away from that. We have to start holding people accountable for what they say and what they do, regardless of whether they have a D or an R after their name.
Right. Yeah, and I think. A more extreme case of that is I do feel like for some very partisan friends of mine that when an issue comes up that's difficult, like Citizens United, for example, you know, what do you feel about 501c4s and their ability to lend money to campaigns, or even immigration as an issue? The very first thing that they do is they need to go check in with their home base. Hold on, let me turn on Fox News and see what I think about that, or let's go talk to
MSNBC.
MSNBC, so that you can understand what you can get a sense of what your opinion's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, it's interesting when you pose problems that aren't already, you know, hammered on in the platform. You know how people feel. I think with Citizens United, I know a great many right wingers that think it's a great thing for free speech. Right. And of course, I don't think they really think that. They really think it's going to help them win elections. But we just had our first big Citizens United election. They just got trounced.
Right.
So what's going to be the take on that now?
Yeah. So these partisan friends of yours, do they listen?
They do not. They probably should.
Yeah. You should invite them.
You know how people like that are. They're so entrenched in their ways that they know that, you know, political personality X has opinion Y, so they sign right on, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
And we are here to dismantle that system. We got anything else to cover?
Well, I did see a couple of headlines now that you mentioned global warming.
Okay.
Apparently Obama made the comment that warming is increasing faster than predicted. And that that article I posted a link to where warming has essentially been, there has been no warming for the last 16 years. And it is equivalent to the stretch of warming they did see right before that. So where are we going? Is it warming? Is it not warming? Are we warming faster than predicted?
Right. Is the zebra black with white stripes, or is it white with black stripes?
Sounds like one of your dates, Jeremy. Is it hot? Is it cold?
It's hot. It's cold. You know, you would never know till date two or three. Yeah, pretty cold. one of the scientists who disagreed with the article saying there had been no warming for 16 years said 16 years is far too short a period to determine whether or not warming has stopped. But how have they determined that we are in this huge warming cycle?
Well, they have 17 years of warming data.
Yeah. So 5-minute abs. Who'd be crazy enough? 5-minute abs. It'd be 6-minute abs. Now that we've solved that, Rob?
I don't have anything.
All right.
What is it like this week after the election? Didn't it seem like the biggest like fizzle of all time? It's like this whole thing was building up for an entire year.
It was 2 years.
2 years. Romney gets beat in landslide fashion. I always have to say that all the time.
That as a landslide.
An electoral landslide. How about that? Come on, 330. 330 is pretty good.
Yeah. It was an electoral landslide. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Jerry. Voice of reason. the House and Senate pretty much stay exactly the same with some Democrat wins, and like on Wednesday, Petraeus, you know, puts his resignation in there, and everything just marches on,
right?
Like nothing. I don't know. It's hard to believe that the election was just a week ago or whatever it was.
Well, a few things you've started to see more of is companies saying that they are somehow transferring expected costs from Obamacare to customers and employees. You've started seeing more of those headlines and stories.
On certain websites.
Called news outlets.
Rob, are you saying you wish that the afterglow had lasted longer?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Oh, well.
It's like when you score the winning touchdown and you're doing your touchdown dance and everybody's already leaving the stadium because you won.
Right.
Like, hey, look at my little look at my little jig I'm doing over here. You want to see me spike it? Oh well, it's tough. It's tough actually leading things like the president does. Just got to get back to work.
Yeah. Right.
Take that.
Yeah. Yeah. Leading.
Okay.
One other thing we talked about last week was Hurricane Sandy. And Rob questioned, well, has there been a real problem up there with the response? Have you looked at any of those articles since last week, Rob?
I think it's been fine.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Just break out the rainbows and the sunshine and everything's fine in the world. Good job.
You got it. No, I think it's been all right. From a federal perspective?
So what perspective has it not been all right then?
Well, I think it's taken a long time to get power out there, that's for sure.
All right. So federal government should do something about that.
Federal government.
They should have done something about the levees in New Orleans.
I'm more of a free market guy.
So feds know about levees in New Orleans, but they don't have anything to do with power in New Jersey and New York. That's to local guys, right?
You got it.
All right, just so I know where you stand.
All right, on that happy note, I think we're done.
We're done.
We're done. Good night.
Thanks for all our listeners checking us out again, and we'll be back next time with even more nonsense. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye now.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.